Episode 2. This is the second part in our October pro-life mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. Last week in episode 1, we began talking about the extraordinary synod on the family taking place last week and this coming week in Rome. The bishops of the world, along with several priests, deacons, consecrated religious, and lay faithful, have gathered with and under Pope Francis to address the current pastoral challenges in today's modern world concerning marriage and the family. The purpose of the synod and indeed of our entire 17 years of our pro-life mini-series is clearly stated in the preparatory document for the synod, which states, "The teachings of the faith on marriage are to be presented in an articulate and efficacious manner so that it might reach hearts and transform them in accordance with God's will made manifest in Christ Jesus." That's our goal. Not to change what the Lord has taught us, but to explain the teachings of our Catholic faith on marriage so that it might reach hearts and transform souls in harmony with God's will. Last week, you know, the Lord presented us with quite a challenge. He said, "Produce life for the kingdom of God." And if we don't, Jesus says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. And in today's modern world, we know that many marriages and families are clearly not producing any fruit. But thanks be to God, there's always a remnant. There's always a remnant who in every age and in many different cultures have lived the gospel of the family as a gift for their life and for their children. Thanks be to God. This week in episode 2, I want to begin with the words of Pope Pius XI, one of my favorite popes. Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical letter, Casti Connubii, which translates as on chaste marriage. He wrote this 84 years ago on the 31st of December in the year 1930. And at the end of the document, it's right at the end in paragraph 123, he says this very interesting statement. "It is the concern of the public authority to make proper provision for marriage and the family. The prosperity of the state and the temporal happiness of its citizens cannot remain safe and sound where the moral order is weakened and where the very fountainhead from which the state draws its life, namely marriage and the family, is obstructed by the vice of its citizens." Now, that's a very interesting statement, worth pondering. He says it's not only the church's responsibility. He says that the public authority has responsibility to preserve marriage and the family by strengthening the moral order and by removing in its citizens all roadblocks to virtue. Let's take a look and see how we're doing. On June the 30th of this year of our Lord and Savior 2014, the Supreme Court ruled on a case called Burwell and Hobby Lobby. You might know that the Hobby Lobby Arts and Crafts Corporation is owned by the evangelical Christian family founded by David Green. They objected to the evil health and human service mandate forcing them to provide contraception, sterilization, and abortion to their employees. Hobby Lobby said that the HHS mandate violated their religious freedom. And guess what? Hobby Lobby won. On June the 30th of this past year, the Supreme Court voted 4-5 that yes, the health and human service mandate did indeed violate their religious freedom. The High Court ruled that Hobby Lobby did not have to provide contraception, sterilization, or abortion health care coverage for their employees, nor did they have to pay heavy fines to the government. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops weighed in on this decision, and they were very pleased. They said, in this case, justice has prevailed, with the court respecting the right of the Green family to continue to abide by their faith in how they seek their livelihood without facing devastating fines. Here we can see that the state made, as Pope Pius XI says, proper provision for marriage and the family. And we hope and pray that this will set a precedent for our Catholic hospitals and colleges and institutions like Catholic Charities and Little Sisters of the Poor, organizations like that. However, this week, what happened at the Supreme Court was unfortunately a different story. Last Monday, October the 6th, the Supreme Court turned away appeals from five states, Indiana, Oklahoma, Utah, Virginia, and Wisconsin, looking to uphold marriage as God intended between one man and one woman. The Supreme Court's rejection of these cases means that the abomination of same-gender get-togethers will be legal in those states. But sadly, no one hears the opinion of the bishops on this matter. Does anybody know what the bishop said? They were expressed serious disappointment and surprise at the October 6th decision last Monday. Here's what our bishop said. Millions of Americans had looked up to the court with hope that these unjust judicial decisions might be reversed. The Supreme Court's action fails to resolve immediately the injustice of marriage redefinition, and therefore should be of grave concern to the entire nation. Grave concern to the entire nation. The bishops state marriage is and can only be between a man and a woman, a unique relationship in which the state has a vested interest. Now, our shepherds, the bishops, make these statements on civil matters because, as Pope Pius XI says, the prosperity of the state and the temporal happiness of its citizens cannot remain safe where the moral order is weakened and where the very foundation from which the state draws its life, namely marriage and the family, is obstructed by the vices of its citizens. Thanks be to God, our bishops make clear statements. Our bishops are shepherds. They're trying to keep us safe from the wolves. They're trying to help us form our consciences so that we know clearly what is right and what is wrong. In today's gospel, we are provided with an invitation. Everyone, is provided with an invitation. Everyone, including the state, everyone is invited to think with the mind of Jesus and to think with the mind of his bride, the church. You know that Jesus and his bride, the church, are one. They are one flesh and one mind. Clearly, we see that some people stubbornly refuse this invitation. Some ignore the invitation and have more important things to do, like working on the farm and working at his business. Some accept the invitation but are not properly dressed in righteous deeds. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 says that the wedding garment is the righteous deeds of the saints. So everyone is invited, but must be clothed in virtue and righteousness, as St. Paul and St. John clearly say. You know, on my desk in my house, I have a cool frame. It's kind of a cross between a stained glass window frame and a triptych. And inside the triptych, this little triptych, there's the phrase from Philippians 4:13. Do you know what Philippians 4:13 says? It's today's second reading. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That is a very inspirational phrase, and that's why I have that on my desk, and I look at it a lot. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. So this is not impossible. It is not impossible to think and to act with Christ and his church. It's not impossible. I can live a virtuous moral life. I can live the gospel of marriage and the family. Why? Because Jesus will give me the strength to do it. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. St. Paul concludes this part of his letter and concludes the letter to the Philippians by saying, "May God fully supply you with whatever you need." That's not what he says, is it? That's not what the Bible says. It's not a prayer. It's not in the subjunctive. He doesn't say, "Well, I hope he supplies you with whatever you need." That's not what he says, is it? My Bible says, "My God will fully supply whatever you need." See the difference? St. Paul has no doubt that God will fully supply us with whatever we need. Not what we want, but with what we need to get to heaven. So don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope. God will indeed fully supply whatever you need in accordance with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.